How would you feel having to front up to a polling booth with identification to prove who you are? Right now, all you need to do is give your name and address, and your name is crossed off the roll. But under a new government bill, you would need to show your ID to vote. How would that work, and why would this be necessary in the first place, and how would that affect those here in the Northern Territory? Anthony Green is the ABC's election analyst. Morning, Anthony. Thanks for coming on the program on ABC Radio Darwin. What's being proposed here exactly?
What's being proposed is that when a voter turns up to vote, you're asked, what's your name, where do you live? Well, you'll now be asked, can you show us some ID? There's a broad category of IDs that can be shown. But essentially, no voter should be turned away. If you can't provide ID, then you will be given what's called a declaration vote, where you fill in the ballot papers. You have an envelope to fill in. Ballot papers are put in the envelope, and that envelope won't be dealt with till after the election. So that's the way it is. As the government says, no one will be turned away for not having ID. But what the government has to be tested on is whether the legislation makes that possible. It's easy to adopt the principle of voter ID. More than 95% of people would have ID when they turned up anyway. The question is, once you adopt that principle, is what do you deal with people who don't have ID, and how much checking do you do on the ID that they have? I mean, does the address match what's on the roll? So it's the detail that matters rather than the principle, because once you've adopted the principle, you're left with dealing with those who don't immediately have ID.
And that's particularly relevant. Yes, keep going. Sorry.
That's particularly relevant in remote communities where they're least likely to have some of the IDs that are talked about. And there are also certain categories of voter who, for various reasons, may not turn up with ID on the day. And then how do you deal with them?
Yeah, it could have a considerable impact, I would imagine, in the Northern Territory. Those seats are both going to be highly contested in the next federal election. Potentially, it could affect the outcome.
It could. The only place this has been used was in Queensland, and the numbers weren't huge, people who had to vote this way, although there's no measure if people were, you know, discouraged from turning up because they thought they had to have ID. But it would have particular relevance in the Northern Territory because I think like a third of the vote in Lingyari is collected by people by the remote polling places. And do the sort of rules which are designed for sort of catching out people in an urban electorate trying to vote more than once, are they relevant in the Northern Territory where you're travelling to communities to collect those votes? I mean, that's some of the questions that could be asked in these particular areas in relation to whether voter ID is worthwhile.
Is there any suggestion that voter fraud happens in Australia?
There's two types of fraud. One is, and the arguments for voter ID get rather confused exactly what they're talking about. There's the question of personation, where someone is pretending to be someone else. And there's a question of multiple voting, where somebody votes more than once. In terms of voting more than once, there were 2,000 instances of multiple names marked off roll. So some initial view, there might have been 2,000 multiple votes out of 15 million at the last election. When they whittled that down to remove the clerical errors, you know, just people who were crossed, the wrong name was crossed off of a polling place, so it turns up that someone's viewed as having voted twice when it was just clerical error. They got down to, I think it was about 20 people they suspected of multiple voting. They were referred on to the federal police, and the federal police didn't pursue any of the cases. Most of the admitted errors of cases of multiple voting are usually confused elderly, people who vote at nursing homes, and then the kids come in on the weekend and take them out and vote again, and they've forgotten they've voted. So there's really very little evidence of multiple voting that way. In terms of personation, pretending to be somebody else, there's no evidence of that. There's lots of apocryphal stories, you know, mothers who are voting for their daughters while they're overseas in the hope they wouldn't get fined. You know, there may be these very small number of cases of people doing something perfectly innocent like that, thinking they're doing good. But the impact on election results is about nil. Even all the talk of the American federal election, presidential election of multiple voting, there's about 20 names they've discovered of people who they allegedly voted for dead people. And when they've tracked them down, most of them were nothing of the sort. So in Australia, there's very little evidence of this. This is an argument, if you believe the government's argument. It's about ensuring faith in the system in case some anarchist just tries to undermine the whole system. You couldn't steal an election this way. You could actually disrupt an election this way, and I think that's one of the concerns.
So 20 people out of 15 million. So there's virtually no evidence of voter fraud happening in Australia. And the government's argument is that this will just protect voter fraud in the future, even though we know none is happening. Surely there's got to be another reason why they want to do that.
Well, look, when this law was introduced in Queensland, it was introduced in the first term of Parliament. They took submissions, held public hearings, drew the law up, and it was more than a year before the next election came round. And I can tell you about some of the, what happened in Queensland. But federally, this is being introduced. It's been recommended by review into the last election. When you look at that report, it pointed to the review of the previous election where it was recommended. And when you look at that review, it says, look at the evidence in the 2013 report. And you go back to 2013, it pointed to what was happening in Queensland before the law was introduced. So there hasn't been a serious look at how this law should work and how it will work. Instead, it's come from sort of reference to three reports which nobody's looked at over the last 8 years. It's being introduced in the last fortnight of sitting, essentially before the election. You don't have to be too cynical to view that there's some sort of reason why they're producing it now. And especially when you remember the government is currently behind in the polls. But they've introduced it. I think they should be judged on what this law is proposing, even if you can have doubts about why it's occurring now.
Interesting. Because it unduly, unbalancedly may affect remote voters. I mean, there's just questions over that, isn't there?
Yeah, look, as I said, the question about ID, most people would have ID anyway, but there's some fairly obvious errors that occur. Husband and wife turn up to vote. The husband's got his ID, the wife doesn't. Now, the law is different from Queensland. This allows what's called vouching, where the husband could vouch for the wife in existence because he's got ID. But in a remote community, I just heard Warren Snowden speaking in the Parliament on the subject. What if two voters turn up an ID? One can't vouch for the other. So there's those sorts of issues that occur. In the end, you have to judge this legislation. The principle is easy. It's actually the detail involved which matters. And, you know, people point obviously to the United States, where clearly the laws have been used as a method of voter suppression. Now, I think that's far less obvious here. It's a bit of a question why the government's introducing it now. I don't think they've got much chance of actually getting it through the Parliament, introducing it in the next election. And even then, when this was introduced in Queensland, there were still errors produced by the new rules. There were voters who were marked off the roll as having voted, even though they were sent over for a declaration vote. So when they came to count the declaration vote, the person who'd been marked has already voted. Now, if that sort of thing had occurred at a federal election, because this law is coming very late, you have the potential where a whole election result in a seat could be challenged on the basis you've suddenly got 60 people multiple votes because of the way this law was introduced. So there's a lot of stuff on this where you think it looks like it's being rather rushed in at the very last minute. And as I always say, with electoral laws, the commission has to train tens of thousands of people to run elections on polling day. This law is being introduced right at the last minute. How's the commission going to train their staff to introduce this at the next election? It's introduced so late. A lot of these laws are better tested at by-elections first. But the government's introducing this very late in the term, so we'll see how the debate goes in Parliament.